Good evening and welcome to a special edition of Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges, your host, and tonight, in celebration of the veteran Kings of Southern Rock, Lynyrd Skynyrd, coming to Star Plaza Theater this weekend on April 28th, I welcome Johnny Van Zant for a conversation about the proud legacy of his band, the Van Zant family of performers, and of course the current Skynyrd plans, including the new tour. What is the future of this group that's not only survived but thrived against odds for over 40 years? Well, we're going to find out in just a few minutes. But first, here's a song that kind of sums it all up. It's called Last of the Dying Breed. Johnny Van Zant joins us on the other side. Welcome to Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges, and that song we just played, Last of a Dying Breed, is the title track, the latest studio album from the Southland's most legendary band, Lynyrd Skynyrd. Tonight, my guest is Johnny Van Zant, the frontman, vocalist, and primary songwriter these days for Skynyrd, who's performing on Friday, April 28th at Star Plaza Theater. Welcome, Johnny.
Hey, how are you, man?
Doing great. Guys, heading up this way.
Sure are, man. We're looking forward to that. It's been a while since we played there at the Star Plaza.
Right.
You know, I got a little story to tell you.
Okay.
My daughter Taylor is getting ready to be 15 years old, May 26. I was there when my wife went into labor.
Wow.
For her years ago, so I remember that place. It was a good night for all of us, and I actually ended up messing there being born. I was doing a show.
The price
came back the next day.
The price of being a road musician.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. But she'll be 15 here May 26th. But that's been a while back. But that's always been a good theater for us to play. And we're looking forward to seeing all of our Skinner Nation. We call them our Skinner Nation, man. You know, we don't call them fans. They've been around for a long time. And now got their kids and...
I've got a story tied, I think it's probably to the same show. I was in the audience with our mutual friend, Jim Peterick, and he wound up saying, well, let's go back and say hi to the guys. Well, I had my daughter with me, and she was 14 or 15 at the time. And we all wound up hanging in the hotel room and watching Mars Attacks.
That's awesome. It's a great, you're talking about a road movie, man. That's one of our favorites to watch when we're rolling down the highway.
We were sitting in the room, and everybody's sitting on, it was like double beds and chairs pulled up and a couple of coolers of beer, and we're all sitting there, and my daughter comes in with Jimmy, and she's like, who are these guys? It was her introduction to Southern Rock.
That's awesome.
How's everyone in the band doing? You know, obviously Gary's had health scares in recent years, but man, he's still playing that guitar with a lot of grit.
Yeah, you know what? He's doing good. He, you know, like you said, he's had some health trouble, but Gary loves doing this, loves getting out and seeing the fans. You know, I asked him, God, last year, I said, man, do you think maybe we should just hang up our holsters and put our boots away? And he was like, man, this is what I've done my whole life. And, you know, I think... for him, he liked to go out playing that guitar. You know, that's what he's always done and loves doing it. Loves carrying on the tradition of Lynyrd Skynyrd and been doing it now. Me and him have been in the band now over 30 years. So
right.
Crazy.
2017 actually marks the 30th anniversary of you guys rebooting the band and bringing Skynyrd back to life.
Yeah.
And it also marks the 40th anniversary of the plane crash. So it's a pivotal year for you guys. I mean, it's happiness and tragedy in the same year.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. You know, I always tell people, you know, music's a great healer. And Skynyrd's had its, you know, tragedies and triumphs. And, you know, Greg Almond said it best. He said, you know, if you live a long life, you're going to have tragedy and triumphs, you know, in your life. And you're going to see a little bit of everything. You're going to see good friends come and go. And you know, when the good Lord calls you, it's your time, you know. So right now it's our time to go out and play. So we're looking forward to the show and looking forward to getting out and seeing all the fans. We got a real busy summer this year and going over to Brazil with ZZ Top and Deep Purple later this year and doing a bunch of shows over there and, you know, getting ready to do a new record and got another documentary coming out from Gary's stance. You know, we've had a lot of documentaries out on the band, but never really his point of view. So this one's going to be aimed more of his point of view and what really happened. You know, you have a lot of people that say things happened, but wasn't there, you know, but Gary was there. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that coming out. It'll probably be out later this year or the beginning of next year.
Do you have a title like for I it said, yet?
It's called If I Leave Here Tomorrow. CMT's doing it, and, you know, Country Music Television's doing it, and a good buddy of ours, Brian Phillips, brought it to us. Wanted to tell Gary's side, and a few weeks ago, we were down here in Florida, me and him. I was Morgan Freeman. I was driving him around while he was telling the stories, and we had a bunch of cameras. I was his driving Miss Daisy.
Oh,
I kept kidding with him. And, you know, we went out to the Hell House, and we went to shoot my family home, his family home, you know, out to the graveyards, you know, and like I said, from his point of view, and it should be a great documentary.
All right. You mentioned a new album. Are you guys still with Roadrunner?
No, right now we're free. We're free birds. So we, you know, we were thinking about doing it ourselves or going back with Tom Lipsky, who we've known and who's ran Roadrunner and, you know, and done that kind of thing, Loud and Proud. And so, you know, that's kind of up in the air what record label we're going to be with. We've even talked to Universal again. And So we'll see what happens, you know, but we're probably going to go do it ourselves and then take and sell it to somebody. So,
what's the target date? What's the game plan for the album?
You know, it just depends on how much we want to play this year, you know, and surely in November, December, we'll probably start on it. And we pretty much got about 8-9 songs already that we really want to record. And so we haven't actually started recording on it yet, but, you know, looking forward to getting back in the studio and doing that.
I had Jimmy Peterick in the studio with me a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about all the different people he's written with. And he said, man, I got to get back with those Skynyrd guys.
Yeah, me and him and my brother just wrote one called Believe. And we actually threw something to Jim. And, you know, Jim, heck, he takes it and goes with it. And he did an awesome job, though, on it. And so we actually just wrote with him. And he's been a good friend of ours many, many years. Wrote some great songs together.
Definitely.
And, you know, he's a great and talented guy, man. A little of a knucklehead, you know, like us.
But. Yep, with the purple hair.
Yeah. But he's a good dude, man, and he's a talented one, too, man. We always love our Jim.
Well, Johnny, since that new song, Believe, isn't available yet, let's take it back to 1999 and Edge of Forever. This is a title track that you co-wrote with Jim Peterick.
Midnight, when centuries clash, some gonna pop. forever.
Taking it back to 1999, title track of the Skynyrd album from that year, Edge of Forever, written with Chicago's own Jim Peterik as a cohort. My guest tonight is Johnny Van Zant, lead singer, songwriter, and frontman of Lynyrd Skynyrd, coming to Star Plaza Theater July 20th. Johnny, you mentioned that you and Jim and your brother Donnie have been writing together. The 38 Special came to the casinos out here not too long ago, and without Donnie in the band, it's just not the same. How's he doing, and is he...
He's doing great. Me and him have been writing. We write all the time. And what we're trying to do is try to get some of these younger kids to do our songs and get them out to other people. And, you know, we may end up doing another country album together. He just can't go out and do a whole lot of touring, you know. It's, you know, being in bands for all your life, you know, you lose some hearing. And, yeah, it's kind of like playing football, man. You're gonna get something go wrong, and his was in his ears.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, heck, I have the same problem. Anybody who tells you they don't, you know, if they've been playing for all these years, are lying to you. You know, you stand in front of amps and on stage, and for all those days, you know, it's kind of like being, I don't know if you ever remember the old JBL commercial that they had where the
yep.
guy sat in front of the speakers and his hair is blowing back.
Blowing
That's
his hair
about 40 some years. But he's doing wonderful, man. He's writing better than he ever has, and got a lot of time to focus on that and doing some fishing and spending some time with the family, you know, after being on the road his whole life, you know.
Right. Speaking of family, you were talking about going to the old family homes and talking about Donnie. And with Ronnie, Donnie, yourself, and even your late cousin Jimmy, all becoming successful singers and band leaders in your own right, one's got to think there was an awful lot of family sing-alongs or something going on at the Van Zant gatherings. Is music in the genes for you guys that you all do it so well?
You know, I don't, for us, I think it was because we only had four channels on our TV, you know, and so we spent a lot of time outside. And us, as kids, man, we had an old swing set. We had like a circular drive that you could drive around, and right in the middle of that, and then there was some hedge beyond that, but right in the middle of that was grass, and there was a swing set my dad put out there, and man, we just sat out there and, you know, we were common people, man. We didn't have a whole lot, so we abused ourselves by singing. And my dad was a truck driver, and we'd go on the road with him, and he turned us on to country music, Conway Twitty and Loretta Lynn and all those good artists from way back when. And then we experienced the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and Elvis Presley. So, you know, it was one of those things, you know. But we didn't have a whole lot to do as kids except for play outside. And a lot of times that, you know, was singing, and, you know, everybody would start singing. You know, we got two sisters that can actually sing really well. But, you know, so we all just got out there and did it, you know, and I guess it just kind of happened for us.
Were your parents musical too?
Yeah, my dad was always singing.
Okay.
And my mom was always humming something, you know. Even right before she passed, you know, if you went over to her house, she had a little rocking chair, and she'd sit in it and be humming while she was talking to you.
just kind of mind-blowing that so much talent was gathered in that one family right there at Jacksonville.
Well, yeah, you know what, it's been a blessing to us, and you know what, we've tried to use it, you know, God gives you those things. I have people all the time go, how do you write a song? I said, I don't really know. I mean, I know there's a verse, a chorus, a bridge, you know, if you're in a band, you have a lead, you know, or whatever, but it just kind of comes to you, a thought, you know, and always say those are God's blessings.
Now, speaking of great songs, what songs do you most look forward to singing to the audience every night? Your brother's songs. Of those great songs, the deep catalog you have, what are the ones that you really look forward to each night to sing?
Man, I always say one of my favorite, and probably most of the band members would agree, would probably be A Simple Man. You know, Freebird, everybody loves Freebird, you know, and of course that's been one of the iconic songs, and Sweet Home. You know, but something about Simple Man that just rings home. You know, I mean, that's what I think my brother was. You know, he's definitely a simple man. Mm-hmm. Hell, Ronnie hardly ever wore shoes, you know. And hell, he didn't even hardly drive too much, you know.
Wow.
Very common person. And those words just ring home. And, you know, that's exactly the way my mother, just saying that song in general, you know, our father really thrived on the success of his boys and all that stuff, but my mother could care less what we did as long as we were happy and you know, and treated people right and had the love of God, you know, so mm-hmm. that was where she was at.
Well, Johnny, let's go back and do Simple Man right now, and we'll do it for your mom. From 2003, live at Am South Amphitheater in Tennessee, this is Simple Man featuring my guest, Johnny Van Zandt. More with Johnny on the other side.
yes I will.
Our brother Leon, and God bless the simple man.
Good evening. This is Midwest Beats. You are locked into public radio. I'm Tom Lounges, and this program's all about music and the people who make it. And the gentleman I've got with me tonight has been making music a very, very long time. In fact, you could say it's a family tradition. Johnny Van Zandt of Lynyrd Skynyrd. Johnny of the newer songs, the post-Reformation, shall we say, of the last 30 years, songs you've been involved with. What are some of your favorites from that, where you think you've really hit the mark?
Yeah, there's a couple of them that I really like. I like doing Still Unbroken because I think that's what Skynyrd is. You know what I mean? We could have broke a long, long time ago, you know, and gave it up and walked away from all this. But you know what? It's in our blood. And it's what we do. And nothing more than I love getting out there and singing the songs.
Broken bones, broken hearts, stripped down and torn apart. A little bit of rust, I'm still running. Counting miles, counting tears, twisted roads, shifting gears. Year after year, it's all or nothing. But I'm not home, I'm not lost, still holding on to what I got. Ain't much left, though there's so much that's been stolen. I guess I've lost everything I've had, but I'm not. Still alone, still alive, still unbroken.
Then there's another one. There's one other one that I got to tell you about, and it's called Red, White, and Blue.
Love that
Myself
song.
Myself and Donnie and a couple of friends of ours, the Warren Brothers, wrote that song years ago, and Skinner did it on Vicious Cycle, and it's just a good song about, you know, about, hey, I'm red, white, and blue. This is what I am, and this is who I am, and you know, it's been a great song for us as far as new material for Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Mm-hmm. Now, that album came out, what, 2003 or 4?
I believe so. Gosh, I can't count.
Wow.
But, been 30 years, man.
Yeah.
Who's counting?
But, you know, it resonates with people, especially now we're looking at all the turmoil and what our country's going through and what the world's going through, and sometimes you just got to stand up for what you believe in and unite.
Oh, yeah.
And that's,
you know what, the one thing I always tell people, man, is, you know what, no matter what, who's president or who's vice president or whatever, but we have to stand behind our troops and their families, because, I mean, they're the people who are making the sacrifice, you know what I mean? And right after the Iraq War, we went down to Fort Hood there and played for the 1st Cavalry and the 1st Infantry and did their homecoming show, which at that time they thought they were home for good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, they were deployed many, many more times. And just amazed me, the spirit and the pride and the patriotism and everything that our troops have. And it takes a certain person to be in our military. My dad was in Pearl Harbor when it was bombed. He was in the Navy, and I've always just really admired the troops and their families. I always say their family sacrifice too. Think about it, you know what I mean? I go on the road, I stay at pretty nice hotels and travel on nice buses. Yeah, I'm away from my family, but they're in harm's way, you know, and wow, any wife of a military person and children, or mother or father or grandfather, will tell you that's a great sacrifice. So my hat's off to all of them. I want to thank them here on your show and thank you for your service, and we'll be behind you as much as we can and whatever we can do, you know.
Well, let's play that song for all the troops right now, past and present. This is Red, White, and Blue, going back to the Vicious Cycle album, Latter-day Skynyrd, and one I'm sure you'll be hearing on Friday at the Star Plaza. We'll be back with Johnny Van Zant right after this.
We don't have no plastic LA friends. Ain't on the edge of no popular trend. Ain't never seen the inside of that magazine GQ. We don't care if you're a lawyer or a Texas old man, or some waitress busting ass in some liquor stand. If you got soul, we hang out with people just like you. My hair's turning white, neck's always been red, my collar's still blue. We've always been here, just trying to sing the truth to you. Guess you could say we've always been red, white, and blue. On dudes, smoking Campbell's and drinking domestic brews. If you want to know where I've been, just look at my hands. Yeah, I'm driven by the White House and spent some time in jail. Mama cried, but she still wouldn't pay my bail. I ain't been no angel, but even God, he understands. Yeah. Oh, my hair's turning white, my neck's always been red, my collar's still blue. We've always been here, just trying to sing the truth to you. Guess you could say so have I. We paid our taxes and gave our lives to serve this great country. So what are they complaining about? Yeah, we love our families, we love our kids. You know it's love that makes us all so rich. That's where we're at. If they don't like it, they can just get the hell out. Yeah. My hair's turning white, my neck's always been red, my collar's still blue.
Off Vicious Cycles, it's Red, White, and Blue, and we are dedicating that tonight to everyone that's ever stood for Old Glory. And my guest is Johnny Van Zandt, one of the writers behind that song, and certainly the voice behind that song. And I kind of painted you into a corner there, Johnny. I said you'd be probably playing that at the Star. Is that fact or fiction? Will you be doing that for
us?
Well,
you know what? It just depends. You know what? We try to switch up our set some here and there, so it depends on what night it falls on. But you know what? Now that we played it, maybe we could see if we can do it that night for sure.
All right. Now we were talking about carrying on and staying strong, keeping the band together, still unbroken. We were talking earlier, and when I opened up the show with "Last of a Dying Breed," that sadly, Southern rock as an entity is seemingly dying. I mean, there's a few bands coming up, like Blackberry Smoke, perhaps, and, you know, Shooter Jennings got a little bit of the Southern sound. But why do you think the guitar armies of the past, the Outlaws, Molly Hatchet, and, of course, Skinner, who started it all, why is this fading away?
You know, well, there's Blackstone Cherry, too, that is a little heavier. They're from up there in Kentucky. They're good boys. They play with us a bunch. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, for here in Jacksonville, there's a new band called the Kurt Town Band. You'll have to check them out. All your listeners can check them out. But they're Southern, you know, and, you know, I don't know. I think it's just music in general. You know what I mean? There's really not, when you think of Led Zeppelin and you think of Keith Richards and Eric Clapton and, you know, I think a lot of it goes back to guitar bands, you know, and Cream, and you know, man, I mean, a lot of those bands are gone, and there's not anybody to take their place in that vein.
True.
And, you know, I hope that it doesn't. I hope that somewhere out there, somewhere down here in the deep south, there's some band that has three guitar players and a guy that sings like Ronnie and Greg Allman and can go. You know, so I gotta give the Almonds, you know, kudos too, man.
Right.
You know, they've retired now, and, you know, of course, you know, the drummer just passed away, and you know, there's something about Southern rock bands that's had a lot of tragedy with us, and you know, but the music lives on, you know.
Right.
And but that three guitar army attack of Skinner, You know, there's really not any out there that has that anymore. And so we'll hope that there's somebody out there to carry it on for us.
We see a lot of the Americana sound coming back, which is refreshing. You know, a lot of the mandolins and banjos.
Yeah.
But, man, I just miss the guitar armies. I do.
Yeah. You know, that's the one thing. And Skinner got it from Cream, you know what I mean? And anybody will tell you that, you know what I mean? And that's the thing about Skinner's music, you know what I mean? It was blues. It was friggin', you know, it was all the Muddy Waters and the Stones and Clapton, you know. I mean, just got a lot of stuff from all of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We were over in Liverpool a couple of years ago, and we took in the Beatles tour, and we actually rented a bus and actually had a guy on it, you know, that told us all about their neighbor. You know, it was like, okay, this is the Fields that was written about Strawberry Fields, and this is, you know.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, they did exactly what most successful bands do, and that is write real things that they, you know, where they lived at and what they knew. And I admired that, because that's exactly what Lynyrd Skynyrd did. You know, Ronnie was a great poet for the common people and wrote about what he lived, and we still try to do that today with new Skynyrd music.
That said, looking back, what was the best advice that you took away from Ronnie, both as a brother and as a fellow musician?
Well, I think as a brother, to believe in whatever you're doing, believe in it full force, you know, and try to be good to other people. You know, Ronnie was a sweet guy until you made him mad, you know, and he'd give the shirt off his back and material things didn't mean much to him, you know, as long as he had a roof over his head. But I think he got that from my parents. My parents, you know, instilled a lot of good things in us, you know. Of course, just try to treat people right and know that everybody puts their pants on the same way. I think that would be the best advice, though, that we all just got from our parents, and I got from Ronnie. But as a musician, he said, hey, go play any place you can for the experience. And, you know, I basically, you know, he said, hey, you know what, I had to go out there and do this and do that, and you're not going to be any different, you know. And mm-hmm. and that's, you know, my last name's Van Zandt. Yeah, it's helped me get into the music business because Ronnie paved the way. But once I got in it, I mean, nothing came. Matter of fact, sometimes it was even harder because mm-hmm. I was compared so much to Ronnie whenever I first started with Skynyrd. And to this day, we still have people, well, you ain't Ronnie, you know. And I'm like, hey, I don't want to be Ronnie.
Right.
You know, and I'll never be Ronnie. You know, I'm Johnny. So, but, you know, again, I believed, like I said, I believed in what I was doing, and I stayed steady to the course. In the early days with Skynyrd, that was pretty hard on me. I mean, because I was a Skynyrd fan before I was offered, you know, to come in and sing with
right.
Skynyrd. And hell, I was scared to death. I was young, you know. But after about the first couple of years, I started going, you know what, I'm really enjoying this. And I know my brother, if he would have lived, he would have wanted Skynyrd to carry on and you know, play the music that he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've enjoyed it. There's been some hard times, but you know what, I'm still enjoying it. I'm probably enjoying it more nowadays than I ever have, you know. Because you go through all these times where you do crazy stuff, and you know, the older you get, you realize, okay, just exactly, and you enjoy the moment, you know. So
right.
The only thing I can tell your listeners is anything you're doing, enjoying your moment, whether it's that, whether that be with your kids or your parents or anything you're doing, you know, try to enjoy the moment, try to capture the moment and really cherish it, because those moments won't be there forever.
Amen to that. You know, you're talking about stepping in to the band in your brother's stead. Reunited together, you guys got together as a tribute. It was supposed to be a one-off, as I understand, the Southern by the Grace of God tour.
Yeah.
When and how did it become decided to continue that and to make this a full-time second chapter of the band's legacy?
Well, after the tribute tour, we all went away for about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. And it, you know, again, I said earlier that we call it the Skinner Nation and the family. Now, family means a lot to us, and it was like the family. It was almost, besides losing people, of course, we were all still alive, you know, almost like the plane crash had happened, you know, because we were all with each other for over a year or so. And then all of a sudden, it was like, okay, that's it. And then we were all still kind of biting at the bullet to write songs and hang with each other. And so we said, well, let's go to the rehearsal room, you know. Let's just see what happens. So we started writing songs, and then we said, God, we got all these songs. Maybe we should just do an album. And we actually thought about changing the name of the band and everything. And then Gary was like, no, I started Lynyrd Skynyrd with Ronnie and Alan. I want to keep it Lynyrd Skynyrd. Mm-hmm. And so it just evolved from that, you know. And here we are today in 2017.
Wow. Hard to believe so much time, so much water's gone under the bridge, and here we are still together. And, of course, a lot of your brothers have passed on as far as your musical brothers. Leon Wilkinson, 2001. Of course, Billy Powell just recently, 2009 or 10. And Huey, you know, Huey had just left, from what I understand, left Skynyrd and was going to get the Outlaws back together, and then he passed. I mean, there's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of time going by. There's a lot of death involved, and as you said, we're all getting older. With the death of those folks, did you ever come to the point of saying, okay, maybe we should stop it? I know you mentioned you asked Gary that question, and he wants to go out with his boots on, but have you gotten to the point where you think maybe it's run its course?
Well, you know what? If anything, it made us more determined, because those guys were in the band, and they wanted it to carry on. So, you know, we were like, okay, well, wait a minute. We can't backtrack because this happened. And it's like I said, Greg Allman said, you're going to experience triumphs and triumphs and tragedies. And
right.
You know, we were right in the middle of doing God and Guns, the album God and Guns. We were in the studio when Billy passed on, and we actually had another bass player after Leon that had passed on, Ian Evans. And so we were like, wow, what the heck is going on, you know?
Wow.
But, and we were really like, well, maybe we should just stop.
Yeah.
But the more we talked and the more we played, the more their spirit came through us. And we were like, you know what? Let's just keep this going. And Huey was one of my best friends. And Leon and Billy, I mean, all those guys were great guys. And you know, sometimes you have to wonder, you know, but. You know, it's been, like I said, we've had great things happen with the band, and very, very tragic things has happened with the band. And Billy Powell was just the Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle on keyboards, you know what I mean? It was unbelievable. We got a great guy, Peter Keys, now, that's playing with us, and just unbelievable. Whenever the first day that he walked in, we were like, oh, my God. I was like, this is Billy.
Right.
You know? So God planted Peter to us, you know, so we were like, okay, it's God. Now we got Billy here, you know. I mean, it was so weird. I mean, even his mannerisms sometimes was like Billy. I'm like, wow. You know, so Billy loved playing, getting out there, and so did Leon. All of them wanted this band to go on. They loved Lynyrd Skynyrd, what they did for their whole entire life. And we actually felt like, well, we'd be letting them down if we just walked away.
Okay. Two other members of the original core group still with us, but no longer playing, Ed King and Artemus Pyle. Is there any bad blood, or what's going on with those guys? I know Ed was sick, but he's feeling better from what I understand. Does he ever guest with you guys?
Know. You know what? I hardly talk to those guys. You know what I mean? I know there's bad blood with Artie, but I mean, you know, I can't help that. You know, I can't help what the heck happened there.
Right.
And, you know, as far as I know, he walked away from the situation. So, you know, I mean, and what will happen in the future, I don't know, you know.
Right.
But, and Ed, I've talked to Ed. The last time I seen Artemus and Ed were, I believe, at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, whenever Skynyrd was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay.
But I wish him well. You know, I wish everybody well. I don't wish anything bad on anybody, so.
Okay. Johnny, you embarked on your own recording career. I want to touch on that a little bit. You had four or five albums out. One of my all-time favorite personal albums in my collection is still Brickyard Road. Do you ever think of doing another solo album, especially with Donnie kind of sidelined now and the Van Zandt project being a recording project but not a touring project, and Skinner, you know, on and off a little bit here and there depending on how much you're touring, of going back and putting your own brand on it again?
Well, you know, I thought about doing one of my bucket list thing, I guess you could say, would be I would love to do a gospel album. You know, me and Donnie did a country album called Get Right With The Man. Yep. And that was about as close to some of those songs on there as I got to gospel. And it was a very successful album for us. We actually got a platinum album off of it, and we did that because Ronnie always wanted to do a country album, so we said, hey, let's do a country album, get involved in the country music scene. And we did that and was successful with it, and then we kind of walked away from that. And you know, but we'll see what happens in the future. I never say never on anything, you know.
Well, let's play that right now and get a little gospel going here.
Granddaddy was a hillbilly scholar, blue collar of a man. He came from the school where you didn't need nothing if you couldn't make it with your own two hands. He was backwoods, backwards, use words like no sir, yes ma'am, by God be darned, hell yeah, I'm American. In all the years he walked this earth, I swear all he did was work. He said the devil dreams on an idle horse, so you listen to me, squirt. Don't get too high on a bottle and get right with a man. Fight your fights, find a grace and all the things that you can't change, and help somebody if you can. Granny said, sonny, stick to your guns if you believe in something no matter what. Cause it's better to be hated for who you are than beloved for who you're not. She was 5 feet of concrete, New York born and raised on a slick city street. She could stare you down, stand her ground, still kicking and screaming at 93. I remember just how frail she looked in that hospital bed, taking her last few breaths of life, smiling as she said, don't get too high on a bottle, just a little sip every now and then. Fight your fights, find the grace and all the things that you can change, and help somebody if you can. And get right with a man. Woo! Woo! Come on now. Yeah! Hey! I never let a cowboy make the coffee. Yeah, that's what Granny always said to my granddad. And he'd say, never tell a joke that ain't that funny more than once. And if you wanna hear God laugh, tell him your plans. Don't get too high on a bottle. Get riding with a man, son. Fight your fights, find the grace and all the things that you can change, and help somebody if you can, and get right with the man. Woo! I'm sorry.
Get right with the man, something that you kind of have to do each and every day when you get up, just to be grateful for the day that you got. And Johnny Zant is our guest. Johnny, of course, lead singer and one of the primary songwriters of today's Lynyrd Skynyrd for the last 30 years, in fact. And they're coming to Star Plaza Theater on Friday, April 28th, to bust out all the great hits and perhaps a few lost classics. You guys digging out anything that maybe you don't play very often for us?
You know, we just started doing All I Can Do Is Write About It, a song Ronnie wrote years and years ago, and it's such a wonderful song. Just what it means, and I think he was way ahead of his time, you know, and I think God knew he was going to call him home, and Ronnie just wrote some stuff that he was so much wiser than his years and living, and it's a great song. So, you know, we pulled out Mississippi Kid, we pulled out quite a few of them over the years.
Obvious question, we were talking about things to still come. You guys are all getting a little older. We're losing some members, as we mentioned. What is left on your bucket list besides doing a gospel album?
What is left? I don't know, man. Catching a big old huge bass. I live down here in Florida. I've never caught the trophy bass, so that's one of my bucket lists. I love fishing. You know what? Spending more time with my family. I think that's on my bucket list. You know, I think just taking and breathing, smelling the roses a little bit more, and going from there, man.
All right. Well, I hope you guys continue on for many more years to come, just as our mutual friend Charlie Daniels continues to do, 80 years old now and still going strong. He's
Charlie's amazing.
He is.
He is amazing. You know, we played up in New Hampshire last year, and Charlie had some health trouble, and I went up to him. I said, "Charlie, how you feel?" He goes, "Well, I feel better now, son, than I ever have."
Yeah.
I said, "Well, I'm so proud and glad to hear that."
his Cowboy album, I just had him on the show for that. He comes on about every year or so and just updates us. But that Cowboy album was something he really wanted to get back to doing, and it's a good album if you heard it or not.
Yeah, he's a wonderful man. He was a great friend of my brother Ronnie, you know. And it's always good to see Charlie, and I hope him the best, you know. And hey, he enjoys it, you know. Like you said, 80 years old and still out there kicking it, man. I mean, that's a wonderful thing.
Well, Johnny, as you said, Charlie's been a longtime family friend. Let's feature him doing Down South Jukin' along with your brother Donnie off the One More for the Fans album. We'll be back a final time with Johnny Van Zant.
All secure, got an icebox full of wine.
Down South Jukin, that's Charlie Daniels and Donnie Van Zant off One More for the Fans, a tribute to the music of Lynyrd Skynyrd. And my guest is Johnny Van Zant of the Skynyrd lineup. Johnny, one of the things I think is amazing is that like you, like Charlie Daniels, there's so many artists that are so pro-veterans, really working hard to make life better for those that serve and those that have served.
It's our duty to do that, you know. I really, really think it's part of our duty as Americans to do that. I think everybody should. We had a song on the, God, I forget. It's called That Ain't My America. And I was just talking about stopping and thinking a troop, you know, somebody who has served. Mm-hmm. And it was a really, really good song.
Well,
that ain't my America. That's a great song, guys.
Well, let's close out with that then. Is there anything we haven't touched on, Johnny, that you'd like to let the listeners know?
No, just that we're getting a little older, but we're going to have a lot of energy on stage. You won't be disappointed.
All right. Amen to that. Well, we'll watch for if I leave here on CMT. We'll look forward to that next album coming out in hopefully a year or so. And of course, stay safe on the road, Johnny, and give them our best to all the guys in the band.
I sure will. Thank you. God bless everybody.
All righty.
Take care.
Bye-bye. This is Bye-bye. That Ain't My America. It's Lynyrd Skynyrd off God and Guns, going back to 2009. Thank you, Johnny.
All right, brother. Bye-bye.
Sometimes I want to light up underneath the no-smoking sign. Sometimes I wish they'd tell me how justice got so blind. I wish they'd just leave me alone, 'cause I'm doing all right. You can take your change on down the road and leave me here with mine. 'Cause that ain't my America, that ain't this country's roots. You wanna slam old Uncle Sam, but I ain't letting you. I'm mad as hell and you know I still bleed red, white. We'll be right back.
wraps up another edition of Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges. Thank you for joining me. That song, Ain't My America, is Lynyrd Skynyrd off their God and Guns album from a few years back. And they'll be at Star Plaza Theater performing live this Friday, April 28th. I'll see you there. Next Tuesday, I'll be back with another edition of Midwest Beat. This time, my guest will be Greg Kinn. Until then, stay safe, take care of each other, and keep on rocking.